Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandera Mendez, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised that this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about habitual behavior and familiarity. So how many of us have heard the phrase, "Oh, that's just how he or she is," or metaphorically from the horse's mouth, meaning actual person, "I'm sorry, but that's just who I am. And let's give it a stretch and how I do things," right? You know, how many of us came across people like that? You know, that just feel as though they just, you know, stuck in a way of thinking and, you know, nothing is going to change. You know, I know that sometimes when people get a certain age that they are stuck in a ways and they don't like to do things that's new only because they feel that the old way is conducive to their way of living and how they will choose to continue to live or how they perceive and see things in life. You know, opposed to someone, let's say a little younger, they're more spontaneous, more open to things that's new and trying new things and just trying to figure out life in general, you know. So it's two different things. You know, sometimes it could be a habitual behavior of younger people being more impulsive and unstable in their actions, you know, and not thinking things through and get themselves into situations or, you know, intermingle with people that may not be of positive influence to them in their life. Opposed to someone, once again, that's of older caliber status, that's stuck in their ways and don't want to change anything because they feel it's more of a stable and secure way of living, you know. So it's obvious the statement refers to someone being perceived or accustomed to a practice way of life that's unchanging or not evolved in a manner conducive to the person's way of thinking or actual way of life, as I mentioned before. And some people despise new and evolved ways of thinking or doing things because it means change to their operant ways of thinking. You know, it's a conditioned way of thinking. And some people become mentally lazy out of familiarity and habitual behaviors because of their condition, once again, in comfort in response to their thoughts and actions resisting to change. Okay, so now let's get into the meat of the show. And once again, tonight's topic is about habitual behaviors and familiarity. Okay, so the question is, what do habitual behavior consist of? Now, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, habitual behavior means regularly or repeatedly doing something or practicing something or acting in some manner, be it customary or conditioned practice, or impaired state of mind, such as a substance usage, meaning when a person has an impaired state of mind and they under the influence of, you know, substances such as alcohol or drugs, it impairs their judgment. And sometimes they do things in a, you know, manner such as they become very belligerent in their behavior or actions towards other people when they intoxicated, you know. And then when it comes down to condition practices, whereas, you know, it can be customary to where a person may have been raised a certain way and in a certain manner and they repeat these behaviors over time. Okay, so yeah, just giving it more color to the dynamic of what I'm trying to explain in the definition in itself. But the key word here is regularly or repeatedly habitual behaviors. Okay, so why do people form habitual patterns in their behavior? Okay, so people form habits associated with their personality or characteristics due to the following reasons. It could be because their behavior or act is easy to perform and result in a certain response or reaction of another person or situation. So they more or less more accustomed to doing something in a step-by-step process because it warrants a reward or it's warrants some type of stability or security in their life, and this is why they do things in a step-by-step process and manner. Another factor can be because it's a comfort zone for them. It's something that makes them feel comfortable in doing, and something that's more more conducive to how they operate and go through life. And as I mentioned before, sometimes the outcome can be a rewarding in nature due to the customary action taught in a family tradition or religious doctrine. So such as a person who may pray and they feel as though it's something rewarding and enriching, and it makes them feel a certain type of way when they are actually in the act of praying or doing something that's more in nature to, you know, what they're accustomed to and how they operate and do things, right? So this is what why some people form habitual patterns in their behavior. Another factor would be minimizing questioning or figuring out how to do something in various ways, when one way, such as routine or repetitious action, has resulted in success each time. So if they're doing something in a step-by-step process, they know that they're not going to do something new along the way. And if they do something along the way that's different from their normal action, sometimes it could cause disturbance, and that can cause a psychological drain on a person when, you know, somebody throw a wrench, a monkey wrench, into their activity and what they do on a step-by-step, their routine, excuse me, and what they do in a step-by-step process. When something has changed, it can disrupt their way of, you know, operant condition, the way they condition to doing things in a certain manner. So on the contrary to that, this is why people do things in a routine and repetitious action, because it warrants success for them in their way of seeing things, how they perceive it, and it brings success and a rewarding outcome for them, the person itself. Okay, so habitual behaviors are caused by certain cues or change in a situation perceived by the individual or groups of people. Okay, so I came across this chart, and I'm going to try to explain it to the best of my ability to you guys who are listening on tonight's show. But it shows the paradigm of how habitual behaviors are formed. And a lot of times, it is formed by the person's awareness, okay? Their awareness, their attitude, self-efficacy, okay? So those two things are on two different spectrums, their attitude and self-efficacy. Self-efficacy has to do with the person's ability to do something in its highest form, or to perfection, or what people call perfection, you know, something that's more proficient in action in what they do, that's self-efficacy. You know, the more they're able to master whatever it is that they are actually doing it and aware of that. Okay, so attitude and self-efficacy is two different spectrums, okay, of how the person is aware. Okay, because a person's attitude is triggered by the person's awareness of social norm, their intentions, which lies in the person's attitude and self-efficacy. It's in from two different perspectives. But moving along from the person's intentions, it leads into the person's behavior, whether it's positive or negative. But it becomes a habitual behavior and cycle over time based off of the person's awareness. Okay, and then it goes all the way back. A person's habitual behavior goes all the way back to a person's attitude, okay, and how they do things. You know, not to get off tangents, but you know, there was a saying that people's attitude determine their altitude in life, meaning how far you're going to go in life, depending on how you perceive things, how you interact with people, your mannerisms. You know, all of those things are associated with your attitude. And if you don't know how to interact with people, you don't know how to speak, you lack manners, you know, you limit your altitude, meaning how far you're going to go in life. And that's just a little detour in the topic in itself. Okay. So, before we move along and talking about the advantages and disadvantages of habitual formations, we're going to take a break. And we are back. So now I'm going to talk about the advantages of habitual formation. And that consists of, it helps create consistency in a structured way when a person forms habitual formation and behaviors. It minimizes less effort and mental strain. And at times, it do not require a conscious thought or close attention to, you know, details in their activity and what they do for the day. It's conducive to their timetable for time management and how they operate and go throughout life. It's an automatic action or activity that leads to stability and security for that person in particular. Okay, now the disadvantages of habitual formation would consist of the inability or struggle to change an action or activity, being closed-minded to the actions or activity performed, leaving less room and accountability for something new. Certain habits can interfere with other activities, such as their sleeping or eating patterns, mechanical actions repeated on a constant cycle, their timetable once again. So basically, their actions become more mechanical than more natural in action. It just is more mechanical and robotic in what they do. So that's what mechanical actually means in detail. So mechanical actions repeated on a constant cycle, their timetable, that's exactly what it consists of. Then when we move along to the psychological and physical setbacks or negative effects on behalf of the person if any adjustments are made to their routine. So as I said prior, from the beginning of the show, sometimes it can have a psychological effect on them when they have to go a different route or routine, and sometimes a physical setback as well, whereas it can interfere in their sleeping pattern, eating patterns, or just in how they operate and go throughout life. Okay? In my opinion, I think that habitual formation and habits, good habits, are good for people who may be suffering from dementia. You know, and I think that, you know, having them do things on a routine is conducive for their growth and maintenance in life. And it helps with the memory factor when they are able to do things in a step-by-step manner. And I'm just giving my opinion that I think is better for people who have dementia in particular. Okay? Moving along to familiarity. Being that I talked about habitual behavior and formation, I wanted to get into the meat of what familiarity is all about. Okay? And according to vocabulary, familiarity is the state of knowing something very well. It's a casual way of behaving. For instance, having lunch with an old friend from college and starting to behave in a manner in which the both of you were familiar to in the past, consisting of a way of how you both could have talked. You know, maybe I could have sang a song a certain way or behaved in a certain manner that both of y'all can actually relate to, you know. So it's being able to relate to each other in a time period, you know, is what is basically make emphasis on familiarity. Now, given familiarity more context and meaning, according to the American Psychological Association, familiarity is a form of remembering in which a situation, event, place, person, or the like provokes a subjective feeling of recognition and is therefore believed to be a memory, although it is not specifically recalled. Okay, so that's giving it more context as far as familiarity. Now, moving along to the advantages of familiarity. Now, It can lead to a candid understanding and knowledge between two people or more that's mutual, an increased ability to adapt and adjust to change, a proficient teamwork in a working environment, and in a statement, you know how they say familiarity breeds contentment? Contentment meaning, according to COFA study, four attributes of contentment are lack of envy, satisfaction, humility, discipline, and abhorrence of greed and corruption. Okay, so those are more or less of the advantages of familiarity. Okay, so now that I talked about the advantages of familiarity, I'm going to talk about the disadvantages of familiarity. And before I even begin with that, I'm going to take another break to get prepared for this. And we will be right back. Now we are back. Now I'm going to talk about the disadvantages of familiarity. And some of that consists of, you know how when, you know, you ain't see a friend in a long time or whatever, and y'all get more accustomed to each other, and you get this feeling that even though y'all spent, you know, months or maybe years apart, the friendship and, you know, whatever bond y'all has still feel the same and unaltered, right? So, 9 times out of 10, let's say if you dealt with somebody, you know, from your past, and they may not have been the most respectable person, but at the end of the day, when y'all had fun together or y'all did things together, y'all really enjoyed each other's company. However, when it came down to them having mannerisms or doing things differently, you know, they didn't really have so much of a poise and having the best of, you know, mannerisms, or let's say they have a certain type of weakness, whereas when they under the influence of alcohol, they become a whole total different person. And based off of how you evolved as a person, it may not mesh. You may not be able to have much of a tolerance level or factor in understanding something that they always been accustomed to, and, you know, and doing as far as, you know, going back to habitual behavior when they get intoxicated, you know, and you just being familiar with them as a person, it's like you can't really relate to them when they get in that context, and you may look at it as a form of weakness, you know, on behalf of the person, and inability to be able to socialize and communicate with you. So it's like you can't really relate to that aspect, but when they are sober minded or whatever the case might be, they may have a little bit more sense and more you know, aspect to them, to where you can actually relate to them, you know, when they're not under the influence of either alcohol or drugs, you know. So I would say the disadvantages of familiarity would be no regards for the person's boundaries, whereas the other person take advantage of their friendship through toxic behaviors and action towards the familiar person. Another factor would be lack of value of the friendship or familiarity due to poor judgment or character or weakness on behalf of the person. So in other words, when I say lack of value in the friendship due to poor judgment, whereas let's say the person is, you know, always have been an alcoholic and they become a functional alcoholic. You know, they may not always be, you know, the best of person, maybe a little bit belligerent, but they are functional alcoholic. And let's say y'all having a conversation about something or discussing something, and when they give advice about a certain manner, you as a friend may not take, you know, take serious or into consideration the value of their advice, because you feel as though they're intoxicated and you prejudge them as, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. So that can be an aspect of poor judgment on a person when you don't take heed to what, you know, the person is saying, whether they are dealing in a weaker aspect of themselves, you know, if that makes any sense. Another factor would be where a person crossing boundaries with another person is when, you know, they don't respect the person when they say stop, or they don't respect the person, you know, ideology or view or how they evolved in life, you know, realizing that, you know, let's say you haven't seen them in a while and you chose to go on a different life path, course, something that's not of norm to them. But because you chose a different life path and you developed certain qualities and traits over yourself, about yourself, and you evolve, and this person hasn't evolved, they will become prejudgmental towards how you become. You know, let's say you chose to get a degree and they didn't, but they still, y'all still familiar with each other because of how y'all grown up in your childbearing ages, and they may still have immature ways about themselves and have an immature view on you developing as a person. So as a result, they may insult you. They may say certain remarks, oh, you think you better than me. You know, certain things that are derogatory when it comes down to the friendship. And sometimes that can tarnish a friendship based off of how people value it. So the lack of value and that friendship is not even there. And then lack of respect of person, respecting the fact that this person chose to take a religious, you know, path other than what the other person is accustomed to. People should be respect people's views and ideologies in life and not be able to be prejudgmental of what people choose to do with their life, you know, over time. You know, who are we to judge somebody who choose to live their life in a certain manner that we weren't accustomed to, you know, in their past or things of that sort, you know, if that makes any sense. So my whole thing is that sometimes familiarity, you know, could be a little damaging, you know, at times, especially if, you know, both people are not on the same level, you know. And then sometimes it could be a warm feeling when you are with somebody who you know, whether it could be in a working place or personal, you know, because that person has a historical point or history with you on a personal level, opposed to in a working environment, you and the people who work together are the people who you know, develop a type of family bond with each other and understand the dynamics of the works and how it's supposed to be, you know, done and things of that sort. So knowing someone who's in the same field as you and y'all both doing the same thing could be a warm and welcoming feeling. Okay, so I talked about habitual behaviors and familiarity, and I talked about how, you know, habitual formations are conducted, and I talked about how familiarity can have its advantages and disadvantages in life. So I hope that all my listeners who listen on tonight's show, that you were able to get something, some type of jewel on tonight's show, and that you can be able to, you know, look at habitual behaviors, even your own and other people's habitual behaviors or formations that they form throughout life, and analyze it, do an assessment, and see what triggers you or what caused that familiarity when you are interacting with someone on a social level or someone who you've known in the past. Okay, so it's just to give it some thought and things of that nature. So with that being said, I thank you all for listening on tonight's show. Bye-bye.